This is a leadership service, and I told you in an email this week that they would be joining me to present the message today. And so there, five of those folks who were just up here are going to be sharing very shortly. But I think I would like to read the scripture today first before we get along there. And I'm turning to Psalm 122, reading just a couple of verses out of there. The theme of these scriptures, of course, is worship. And the psalmist in Psalm 122 said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord." There's a memory verse right there. "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And now here we are, standing inside your gates, O Jerusalem," this author says. He's talking about making a pilgrimage to the holy temple in Jerusalem to worship the Lord. And he mentions Jerusalem is a well-built city. Its seamless walls cannot be breached. And all the tribes of Israel, the people of God, make their pilgrimage here. They come to give thanks to the name of the Lord as the law requires. It's about worship. Psalm 122. In the book of Revelation. Oh, he's going for a drink. The author, John, has been given a vision of worship in heaven. He's caught up into heaven, and he has a vision in heaven of what's going on in worship. Much of the book involves this. I'm only picking a few verses out of chapter 4 where John writes about these living beings. Angels, we can think of them. You've heard of cherubim and seraphim. They're angels. Each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered all over with eyes, inside and out. And day after day and night after night, they kept on saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the one who was, who is, and who is still to come." And whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one who is sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne, and they say, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased." A picture of worship in heaven. Before I introduce the speakers, would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to worship once again. And we ask the blessing of your Spirit to be with those who are going to share momentarily about the importance of worshiping you. So I pray that these will be your special moments in which all of us are convinced and affirmed in our faith about worship, what it entails. For we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I saw a little story in the newspaper. Apparently it was a true story a few weeks ago where a woman was attending her church worship service, and they called upon the ushers to receive the offering. And about the time one of the ushers gets near her, she was fumbling in her purse, and out dropped a rather large TV remote control and clattered on the floor, made some noise on the wood floor, and everybody turned around to see that TV remote there, and the usher didn't want to distract any more than that from worship, and so he bent over and whispered in her ear, and he said, "Do you always bring your remote control with you to worship?" And she says, "No, but my husband refused to come to church with me today because he didn't want to take a chance that he might miss the kickoff of the Browns game." And this is the worst thing I could do with him, for him, without it being against the law. That's what she said. Anyway. Yeah, good idea. There are a multitudes of things that you and I could be doing on any given Sunday morning. A multitude of things. We could just be out enjoying nature. We could be out shopping, food shopping, clothes shopping, snack shopping for the Browns game, which is later today, I guess. We could be shopping. We could be doing winter pre-winter chores, you know, taking in the hose and mowing the grass and doing landscaping. We could be doing all kinds of things this morning. All of us are such busy people that there are so many things to do in our lives. The fact of the matter is, though, that you have chosen this morning, each one of you has chosen, to put aside something else that might have been calling for your attention today, and you've come here to worship the Lord. And that's a good thing. For I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And we have some people that are going to speak this morning on some aspect of the worship that comes under that heading, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And so I want to call on these people. They already have the order and they know when they're speaking, but the first person that's going to speak today is Chuck Lemon. And so I invite you, Chuck, to come forward. Kind of stand here because we are recording this, and so kind of talk to the mic and don't do any like straying like I'm wont to do.
You can do that. I've been told I tap on the podium and it drives people crazy. So if I do, wave at me. Well, first of all, I wasn't going to start this way, but you know, I'm kind of, you know, Darius summed it up for me. I'm personally, as they call it, corporate worship. I look forward to that. And there are times I can't wait to come back. So, you know, it's, and I hope you all feel that way too, you know. And I do occasionally invite some friends to come. They don't always do that. But not only, you know, I get a chance to worship God and give him recognition for what he's done for me, all the gifts he's given me, he deserves our praise and worship. And I'd like to share that with others. You know, there's a lot he has to offer. I get a lot out of this. And I do want to stress that I look forward to being here. And and there are not every Sunday I'm here, but if there's a Sunday I can't make it, I feel, you know, I have to somehow make up. And I do, you know, personally, on an individual basis, I do worship, you know, praise God in my prayers and whatever else I can get involved in. One goal I have since I've accepted Christ into my life as my Lord and Savior is to grow spiritually. And for me, that means, and Christ put it down to like two commandments, you know, love God with all your strength, mind, but you know, I can't remember the exact quote, and to love others. And I get when we're all here together, I get to do that. I get to practice loving others because, and loving God. So in the process, I have learned that I'm not alone, okay? If I would accept Christ in my life and keep it all to myself, you know, a lot of people have told me, I don't go to church, I watch the evangelists on TV. That's enough for me. But you don't have that family support, encouragement that I find here. We're here to lift each other up, is how I see it. We're here to cry with each other when we're sad or having troubles. We're here to laugh with each other when things are going great. And so sharing is a good thing. And I won't be able to share if I'm sitting at home, you know. I wrote a little list of things that I feel is important to me and why worship is important to me. I get to share my experience, strength, and hope, and you also can share that with me. I can get that. There's a saying, a problem shared is a problem cut in half, and a joy shared is a joy doubled. And we can experience that here. You know, we're here. We're here to lift each other up and encourage each other. I've developed true friendships here, okay? I consider all of you a family, you know? You're all my brothers and sisters in Christ. So, basically, I'm here for us as a group, as a community, to grow spiritually and mature spiritually. Again, I can do my praise and worship of God as he deserves, as an individual basis, and I do. But there's something special about corporate worship, is what they call it. It's worship's vital to my Christian walk, and I would hope all of you would do the same. And I continue to be so grateful that I will share with others to come and see what we have here. Unfortunately, they don't always accept my invitation, but I keep trying. And I look forward to doing this as often as I can. And like Darius said, there are times I, you know, can't wait to come back. So with that, thank you for listening. And that's my take on how important worship is to me anyway. Thank you.
I think I'm pretty loud, Randy. Do I need to move this down? It'll be fine. Hi, everybody. Okay, for those of you that don't know me, my name's Robin. I've been on the leadership team pretty briefly, but I've been a member of Cross Point family since I was a little-er girl. So I am both excited, totally blessed, but terrified to be up here standing talking to you. So bear with me, but I am a firm believer in the quote, do something every day that scares you, so check for today. All right, do something, one thing, every day that scares you. Does anybody know who's credited with that quote? Bonus points? I brought a little bit of a bribe. Okay, that was Eleanor Roosevelt, whether it's true or not. Okay. And I brought this as a little motivation, maybe to win you guys over. Actually, we didn't have as many trick-or-treaters as I thought we would. Anyway, I'm here to touch up on some reasons why we should be attending church regularly, other than some short, loud girl throwing candy at you. So I'm going to present you with Rhonda Stopp's 10 reasons to go to church, even when you don't feel like it. And I'm going to start by saying, I'm not here to throw stones. I am not perfect. I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not perfect. Nobody is. But here we go. Church is not a place to go, but rather it is a living body where God wants us to be a part of for your good and his glory. So we'll start with number one. Number one is to hear the preaching word. The word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than a sword, Hebrews 4:12. And hearing the preaching of the scripture is vital to your spiritual well-being. One of our church's core values is, and I quote, "We value the truth that all Christians are called by God to play a role in building up the body of Christ. How we do that? We show up. Anymore, we can justify giving up on actually going because everything we ever want, ever, is at our fingertips. So we think. It's so easy to just watch TV, you know, and watch your favorite preacher on TV, but there's so much more than that. When you come and you participate. You know, spiritual books are great. There's nothing wrong with watching your favorite preacher on TV or listening to a podcast about your faith, but without close fellowship with real people, you can never truly experience the help and hope Christ offers through faithful church involvement. Nowadays, my generation especially, we are accustomed to getting info and entertainment right at our fingertips, just right here. And worship sometimes gets replaced with skits, videos, or you name it. But the thing is, God never instructed his ministers to entertain the troops. He commanded to preach truth with urgency. I won't deny we like to be entertained. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's not what the word is all about. But disclaimer, if you are truly physically unable to attend church, watching it on TV or online is a wonderful resource, especially a church that will post sermons weekly so that you can stay updated with your church family. All right. Reese Cup to anybody who knows the website. You'll have to forgive me. I was never into sports. Okay. Reason number two, to participate in corporate worship. So here's our core value alert. We value worship as a gift of love bestowed on an audience of one. Worship alone is wonderful and necessary, but nothing can replace the beauty of coming together corporately. So I hate the word corporate, so I'm going to change it to collective. So coming together collectively to worship him with others who have his spirit in them. Jesus said, those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. In order to truly worship the way he demands, it requires some soul searching. People often think worship is rooted in the feeling like they've been with God in church, but if the church can't or continue to create that environment to stir those emotions and feelings, they move or find another church, or even worse, they stop attending altogether. So here's the rub. Worship is a response to our humble gratitude for his love. It comes from knowing that his character is revealed in the scripture, and it's going to stir our hearts for thankfulness. It's expressed in worship, and it brings him glory rather than self-serving emotional experiences. So the Spirit does cause true worshipers to want to come together with people alike. And if God's Spirit doesn't stir a desire to worship both privately and collectively, then you're beyond help. I'm kidding. All right. You just might need to talk to him and ask him why that is. So reason number three. Iron sharpens iron, Proverbs 27:17. Regular meeting with other believers is a source of encouragement and strength, but disclaimer, when iron rubs against iron, not only does it get sharper, but do you know what it does? Wow, that was really good. All right, because I know my mom loves a Roosie. Thank you. So it sparks. It's just part of the process. So living in a community with other Christians, you're going to get bumped, and what spills out is what's in your heart. God uses our interactions with others to show us areas he would like us to repent and attempt to reflect more of the image of his son. Working alongside those in church fellowship is how we can grow love for God's people. And another way God is showing us areas that he wants us to mature in our walk with Christ. So here's another core value alert. We value being a church characterized by grace in the same way God extends his grace to us by accepting us, forgiving us, and loving us in Christ. So we stand firm in our acceptance, forgiveness, and love for all people. If you stopped attending because people hurt you, didn't measure up to your expectations, or are hypocritical, know that the enemy has you right where he wants you. Okay? Satan's tactic is to, do you know? Wow. Divide and conquer. So, no offense, but if he can pull you from the flock, you're vulnerable, and Satan is going to use your lack of God's love for people to cap your love for God. Reason number four, to exercise your gift. I like this one. Everyone, yes, everyone, has been equipped by God with gifts to serve Christ, whether it's preaching, hospitality, encouragement, administration, the list is endless. A church body is healthy when its contents realize they are not only here to receive, but also to be a blessing. You've all heard 20% of people do 80% of the work. And by saying this, I'm not trying to guilt you into getting involved, but rather inspire you. So is it working? Okay, so here's what happens. You see work happening in the church, think, they don't really need me, but don't be fooled. A well-running ministry may appear to have all its bases covered, but many individuals may be doing more work than they simply like because the harvest may be great, but the workers are few. Therefore, Pray to send forth laborers. Luke 10:2. Your willingness to bring to the table what God has gifted you is likely the answer to someone's prayer. I'll say that again. Your willingness to bring to the table what God has gifted you is likely an answer to someone's prayer. I know that's heavy. Core value alert, we value the people of God giving their best to the kingdom of God. So you may not know you have a certain talent, but my advice is give it a try. One of my favorite examples, John, our drummer, you all know him. He was asked to play the drums. He didn't have experience, but he said, sure. He went out, he practiced. He's great. He loves it, right? And we are so blessed to have him there. He's awesome. We see him every Sunday, and it's an inspiration. So we're really blessed to be able to give something scary a try. Does anybody remember my quote from the beginning? Every day. All right, but they already got candy. So who wants a Reese's Cup? Anybody? Yeah. Okay. So reason number five, to encourage your pastor. Pastor. Okay, Randy needs this. Understandably, you can imagine. Picture you're giving a lecture about something you're really passionate about, and no one wants to go. They just don't feel like it. They found other reasons that were more important than to go. That's hurtful. I mean, it's a semi-relevant example, but it applies here. When you become a partner in his ministry, you are bringing joy to his heart, growing his love for you and others, and causing him to joyfully thank God for your faithful service to Christ. Did I cover it? Is that good? All right. Reason number six, to find godly mentors. I like this one too. In church, you'll discover many people who have walked the road ahead of you. Their wisdom, insights, and even vulnerability to teach you from their mistakes is one way God provides you to help and grow. And not only can you find amazing mentors in church, but it's also a place God wants you to find someone to mentor. Core value alert, we value spiritual growth and believe it is best fostered by being in a relationship with others. So with one eye looking to godly others for guidance, and the other eye on who God might want you to mentor, don't be surprised with the opportunities he'll give you. So some of you might know my brother Kyle. He used to play the drums here before he moved off to Florida. But anyway, he's a very devout Christian man who may have never found his way if it wasn't for a positive mentor who he intercepted early in his life. So I got his permission for this story. He had, when we first started coming to this church, you remember I was a littler girl, and he had the music minister, the guy in charge of the music on stage, his name was Dan. Some of you might remember him. Kyle said about him, he always encouraged me, believed in me, supported me, and bonded with me over the calling to use my gifts to reach people. To this day, he makes a short list of the nicest people I've ever met, and he led me deeper into my relationship with Christ by using the most powerful evangelism tool in the world. Anybody know what that would be? Okay, no. No. Lead by? All right, someone's getting a Kit Kat. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor heart of man imagined what God had prepared for those who love him. Corinthians 2:9. Reason number seven, to teach your kids to love church. Some parents grew up in church, but they walked away when they grew up. Some never really had a relationship with Jesus. Now, I don't know you, and I don't know your story. But when their kids were at risk, it was to the church they returned, but usually didn't come themselves. They might drop off their kids and hope that the good would rub off on them. Core value alert, we value the behavior that flows from living a Christian life characterized by the fruits of the Spirit. So if you want to teach your kids to love God, they need to see you love God. And if you want them to love God's people too, they need to observe you loving God's people. Luke 6:40 says, student will become like teacher. Now, Jesus didn't say student will become what teacher teaches. Student will become like teacher. Children will learn more about your faith from watching you live out your faith journey rather than you telling them about God. So you can't just talk the talk. You gotta... Wow. All right, you ready? I'm warming up. Reason number eight, to be a light to your community. This one is an important one for our church. It's easy, we know this, and it's our mission statement. What's our mission statement? Yeah? All right. To share God's grace with our community. Core value alert. Obviously, we value reaching out and serving people in our community. Another core value alert, because I remember it's important in this church. We value leaders who lead with a servant heart. So help others find their way to Christ. Again, the ever-powerful lead by example is super important here. Reason number 9, to bear each other's burdens. Life is hard. Not here to tell you it's not. In a moment, everything can change. A phone call, a diagnosis, plenty of other mishaps can leave you feeling afraid and alone. But those who are part of this family, they're never alone. This family is here with support and affirmations when life is going great. And when life throws a curveball, they're ready with their support, loving concern, and prayer. So if you're like me, you're good at coming to church when things get a little tough because you find relief in it. But the relief comes with a genuine relationship with Jesus and his people. If you're accustomed to only going to church when you have a need, try going when you're doing okay. Maybe you're the opposite. Maybe you draw away from God when things are messy. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Proverbs 18:10. Okay, last one, and then I'll leave you guys alone. Reason number 10, because God says so. Don't forsake the assembly, or as Hebrews 10:25 better explains, don't give up on meeting together. As some are in the habit of doing, again, I'm not here pointing fingers, but encourage one another. Realize that God wanting you to regularly attend church is for your good. He didn't call us to gather and worship to burden us, but to bless us. Thank you.
Well, I knew I didn't want to follow her. I pretty much have similar, just not as eloquent. Thanks. Oh, thanks. Yeah. I hate talking in front of people. I'll sing, but don't ask me to talk. But when we were asked to do this, I came up with two thoughts in my head of why coming to worship is important. The first one I was thinking of was, it's easy to talk about how important God is to you and to believe it and to encourage others. But if you're telling everyone how important God is and what all he does for you, but you stay home on Sundays to catch up on your sleep or do the yard work, what are you really saying about what God means to you? Where are you putting your priorities? Is God actually your top priority? Is it fitting to tell everyone how God is the most important part of your life when what you do and show says otherwise? So, I mean, we all have days where things come up and we can't make it here. But when it becomes a habit, when it becomes the norm that we sleep in on Sunday because we've had a really bad week, rather than come to church and go to God with the rest that you need, the inspiration that you need, then you're telling people that you're trying to convince how important God is that he really isn't. So that kind of was my first thought. And then I was also thinking that God calling us to come to church and to worship together is really a blessing, because that's where we do get our strength, our family. The people here become those that lift you up when the world is falling down around you. I know I've gone through many crises in my life, and the people here have been the ones that have gotten me through. Without them, I don't know where I'd be. So So I think it's important, and I think that God wants us to be here together, to grow together, to lift each other up, to laugh together, to cry together, and to learn and grow together. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jim. And like everyone else, I am very nervous about doing this. What I wanted to talk about is, you know, we went through the church revitalization and we came up with marks of a mature Christian and how I really believe this church has helped me and quite a few others as becoming mature Christians. Like, number one, I am a Christian. I have been adopted into Christ's universal church, faith in Christ to forgive my sins. I will join other Christians at Crosspoint Community Church to participate in the body of Christ. I will attend corporate worship service to honor Christ and grow in grace. I will individually engage in prayer, scripture study in order to become more like Jesus. I will help build up the body of Christ by using my gifts to love, to serve, to give, and to offer Christ to the people in my sphere of influence. Number two, I am a Christian. I will pray for our church's leaders and our ministry because our leaders cannot serve our church in their own power. I will pray for God's strength and wisdom for them every day. I am a Christian. I will strive to be a source of unity in His church. I understand that people in the church are not perfect, and that includes me. I will not be a source of gossip or conflict. I will not judge others. I will do all I can to humbly accept, love, and forgive others. I am a Christian. I have been forgiven by God in Christ and will make it a priority to forgive others who have wronged me. I am a Christian. Number five, I am in this church to serve others and to serve Christ. Therefore, I will not let my preferences and desires adversely affect my participation. I will humbly follow the directives of our church leaders who have been called by God to advance His kingdom. Verse 6, I am a Christian. In order to honor Christ, I will make a prayerful, informed decision about giving a portion of my income to Christ's church. And that is so important to this church because we're a non-denominational community church that, you know, we're self-funded and that what we receive in the baskets is what pays for our bills. Our entire monies comes from that. And I believe in tithing, and I believe that, you know, I have become a lot closer to God by doing so. And, you know, and I believe it's biblical. It is written in Corinthians 9:7, give with a cheerful heart. Number seven, I am a Christian. I will view fellowship in the church as a gift of God. Therefore, I will not take it for granted. I am humbled and honored to serve and to love others through Christ and His church. Number eight, I am a Christian and I thank God I am. You see that in all those, the word will is in all the marks. I believe it is so important. In James 2:14 says, what good is it, my brother and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but no deeds? And James 2:24, you see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. Number eight again. I am a Christian, and I thank God I am. Thank you.
I am Gail Arthur. And Jim and I started coming to Crosspoint over 12 years ago. We were having struggles with our marriage, and we're looking for a church. We had tried other churches, but this is the one that got us. We hadn't attended church on a regular basis since early childhood and didn't realize the importance at that time. Randy's message for several weeks was exactly what we needed to hear at that time. It wasn't long before we attended Disciple Bible Study and realized that God has a purpose for everyone. Romans 8:28 says, "We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose." Jim and I eventually became members of the leadership team and learned of the many needs of the church. We are pleased to help with the many decisions and responsibilities of being a leader. From the first day I stepped foot through the door of Crosspoint Community Church, I felt God led me here. Crosspoint has become a major part of my life. I realize the importance of regular attendance to help keep my eyes focused on the Lord. Without God in my life, I don't know how I would have dealt with life's many challenges over the past 12 years. I thank God every day for leading me here. Unless I'm ill or out of town, you'll see me here every Sunday. I can't imagine being anywhere else. And I pray that every one of you feels the same. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Amy. One of my favorite Bible verses comes from Thessalonians 5:18. "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." I'm reminded of this verse when I have days where I struggle with whether or not to come to church. There may be a Sunday when it's a gorgeous day out like today, and we have so much to do. We have to cut grass, clean house, grocery shopping, or schoolwork. As children of God, we all have the privilege of coming to church first to show God our thankfulness for all the beautiful things around us God created and blessed us with. Then there are days we're excited about the Browns playing. We may wish that God blessed us with a better team, but coming to church on those days reminds us to feel grateful that God provides the means for us to be able to watch or listen to the Browns game, even if they do fall apart in the fourth quarter. Maybe we had an argument with our spouse, a family member, or a friend. Coming to church reminds us about forgiveness, just like God has shown us his mercy and forgiveness time after time. We also have days where we're dealing with depression and despair, or we feel angry that nothing is going right in our lives. We may feel like we're drowning and wonder if we'll ever reach the surface. Coming to church on those days, as hard as it may be, gives us peace. As we read in Deuteronomy that God says he will always be with us. He will not leave us or forsake us. When we come to God's house every Sunday morning, we are blessed with the opportunity to give thanks and forgiveness, to be grateful for all that we are blessed with, and to be at peace that God is always with us. Thank you.
I've always been grateful for the leaders of the church, and it's my privilege and pleasure to meet with them on a regular basis. I can tell you that my esteem for them just increased manyfold. How fortunate we are to have these folks in our midst to guide us along the way. They speak with such wisdom and such passion, and I thank each one of you who came up here today and spoke. God bless you for what you've just done today. You guys were all awesome. And the only question I have is, does this mean, Robin, that I'm going to have to start bringing bags of candy every day? Okay. Where's my Bible? I know it's getting on, but we need to have communion. We need to celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. And I want to read the scripture. Amy just mentioned that one of the reasons we come here is to be reminded of forgiveness. And that's what the communion is all about. Here is the communion story according to Matthew. When it was evening, Jesus sat down at the table with the 12 disciples, and while they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." Greatly distressed, each one of them asked in turn, "Am I the one, Lord?" And he replied, "One of you who has just eaten from this bowl with me will betray me. For the Son of Man must die, as the Scriptures declared long ago, but how terrible it will be for the one who betrays me. It would be far better for that man if he had never been born." Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Rabbi, am I the one?" And Jesus told him, "You have said it." Let me pause for just a second to note the fact that Jesus came together with his disciples for that Last Supper, the first communion service, knowing full well that someone was sitting at the table with him who was about to betray him. And Bible scholars make much of the fact that Jesus is trying to reach out to Judas and offer him love and grace, even in those moments. But Judas would not accept it. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. And he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it, for this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. And he gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." And then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. People wonder what hymn they sang. As a matter of fact, all Bible scholars are in agreement that what Jesus and his disciples sang, the hymn that they sang, was the so-called Hallel, H-A-L-L-E-L. The Hallel refers to Psalm 113 through Psalm 118. These were psalms that were sung in worship and praise at the Passover feasts that preceded and the communion service, which took off from there. Just a few of the words from the Hallel to give you a flavor for what it was that Jesus and his disciples were singing. From Psalm 113, "Praise the Lord. Yes, give praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this day and forever." Psalm 115, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name goes all the glory, for your unfailing love and faithfulness." And they would have sang Psalm 117, "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you peoples of the earth. For his unfailing love for us is powerful. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. Praise the Lord." Psalm 118, "I give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." And then Psalm 118 continues in that vein, repeating over and over and over again, "His faithful love endures forever." And my favorite, Psalm 116, "I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath." Imagine now Jesus is saying these words. "Death wraps its ropes around me. The terrors of the grave overtook me. I saw only trouble and sorrow, but I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, please save me. And he saved me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. And so I will walk in the presence of the Lord in the land of the living. So what can I offer up for all that God has done for me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and praise the Lord's name for saving me. And I will keep my promises to the Lord in the presence of all his people." I just read these verses to let you know that as Jesus gathered with his disciples at the Last Supper, he was in a mood, he was worshiping his Heavenly Father. There can be no more meaningful expression of worship than when you and I draw to the communion table. And I'm going to invite the communion stewards to come forward and serve us in that way. As soon as I say this prayer, will you join me in prayer? O Lord, it is fitting and right to sing of you, to praise you, to thank you, to adore you, to worship you, for you are the ineffable God, inconceivable, invisible, incomprehensible, existing forever and ever. You and your only begotten Son and your Holy Spirit, you brought us into being out of nothingness. And when we had fallen, you raised us up again. And you have not ceased doing everything to lead us to heaven and to bestow upon us the glory of your future kingdom. For all this, we thank you and your only begotten Son and your Holy Spirit for all the benefits of which we know and those of which we are ignorant, for those that are manifest to us and those that lie concealed. We thank you also for this sacrifice of worship, which you are pleased to receive from us, mere mortals, even though you stand there with thousands of archangels and myriads of angels and cherubim and seraphim who worship you by singing the triumphant hymn that you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased. So now, O God, as we come to the zenith of this worship experience, we humbly ask that you would fill our hearts with wonder and joy. Wonder as we remember that your Holy Son willingly laid down his life. And joy in that because he did, we have received forgiveness and grace. We confess to you that in our humanness, we are not worthy to partake of these sacred elements, but you, O Lord, have lifted our humanity to the heights of your throne by conferring upon us the very righteousness of Christ. For these gifts of grace, we offer you our very selves, all that we are and all that we have, asking that you, O Lord, would enable us, through the power of your Spirit, to love you with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. We pray in the name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Amen.